grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The hands and the sides of Jesus. By the evening of the first Easter, Jesus was showing his hands and his side to his disciples as marks that identify him as the victor over death, sin, and the evil one. Oh, the pains which he endured, our salvation has procured, says one of our great Easter hymns. The hands and the sides of Jesus are much more than signs of pain and death. They are glorious reminders that God is rich in grace, having sent his own Son into the world, not only to die, but also to rise and give our lives new purpose, new meaning, peace, and power. Peace be with you. Those are the first words Jesus spoke to his disciples. Those so-called followers of Jesus who weren't fighting for Jesus' life on Good Friday, being afraid for their own hide, not waiting at the tomb for the resurrection either, even though he had told them beforehand. And now, where are they? Hiding? Yes, they're hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jews who were ready and willing to put more of the rebellion to rest as they did Jesus. Yet, Jesus finds them. Unencumbered by a locked door, Jesus comes and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. Those scars didn't scare the disciples. The text says, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." You see, these wounds of our Lord weren't healed and gone. And there's debate, healthy debate, about those visible wounds on Jesus when he returns and comes again. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bend their wandering eyes at mystery so bright. You ever thought about what that hymn says? Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible where? Above, in beauty glorified? It means that those angels in heaven have trouble looking at the glorious wounds of Jesus. Not because they're ugly, but because they're beautiful and glorious. Downward bend their wondering eyes at mysteries so bright. It's a mystery how such painfully inflicted wounds can become so beautiful and glorious. But when you think about it from God's point of view, how the Lord knows that those wounds bought you and me back into the kingdom, makes it a little different, doesn't it? He secured our future with those wounds. It becomes lasting proof that our God willingly did that to reveal his love, his victory, and his resurrected glory. And that draws his loved ones back to himself. Perhaps there's nothing more beautiful in heaven or on earth. I cut my thumb this week while cleaning a cheese grater. Yes, I know you're shocked, not because of how painful it is to cut your thumb on a cheese grater, but because Pastor does dishes. It bled, and it was difficult, by the way, but I did finish cleaning the dishes, thank you very much. I put a Band-Aid on it later, and I covered it up, put a little Neosporin on it to prevent it from getting infected. Then it broke open again the next day. I really shouldn't have hit that guy at Blue Tick. with the right hand. Should I use my left? No, I didn't do that. Just kidding. By Saturday, when I was writing the sermon, my right hand and thumb, things were pretty well healed. By Sunday, today, 4 days later, because I was cleaning a cheese grater, by the way, it has practically now disappeared. All better, as Mom used to say. Thanks, Mom. But 8 days after Jesus' resurrection, and because Thomas couldn't be there on Easter Eve, he was obviously at Blue Tick or something. Maybe he was fishing. Maybe he cut his hand on a cheese grater. I don't know. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and now Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, it says that twice in the text, every time Jesus appears, the doors are locked. Jesus came and stood among them and says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Where were you last week?" No, he says to him, "Put your hand here. Put out your finger. Put it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." The wounds of Christ made a believer out of the previously doubting Thomas. The wounds were tactile, touchable, tangible, touch and see proof that our Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He needn't be afraid of a ghost because Jesus wasn't. He was risen in the body. The wounds hadn't healed. They were proof of the glory of the cross, which redeems you and me and reminds us that the same Jesus who died on Good Friday and said, "It is finished," now lives to say, "Peace be with you." And now it's our calling to believe, even though we haven't seen those wounds ourselves. Jesus says, because God values faith in us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Still, I'm thankful for Thomas, and more, I'm thankful for the stigmata, the marks of disgrace on Jesus that have become the proof of God's grace and mercy for me and for you. It's our calling to remember with thankfulness those wounds and to declare what Jesus did for all. All the pains which he endured. To look forward to gazing upon Jesus in heaven, risen in the flesh, both him and us. And perhaps to sing with the angels, "Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in glory glorified." No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bend their wandering eyes at mysteries so bright. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.